listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
You right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. And I notice you're looking all shiny and glossy and scrubbed.
I had a lovely weekend. Amanda and I went to the New Forest, to one of our favourite hotels for the weekend, and it was a nice, it's a nice spa and everything, and I was all chill and relaxed and all happy until we got home, and then I've had to deal with Lloyds Bank and their nonsense, Apple Pay and their even bigger nonsense, Maidstone Borough Council and their nonsense. And
so let's start with number one. So let's say a big hello to the hotel and spa that you were staying at.
I stayed at Kerry's Manor in Brockenhurst, which is a hotel I know really well, and I've stayed there many times, and it's absolutely fabulous. So big hello to all the folks there at Kerry's Manor. Thank you so much for a lovely weekend.
Oh, I haven't been since the 80s, but I do remember it was very splendid, and I'm sure it's all been upgraded. And you do look very pink and sort of polished.
You know,
pink in a good way. I don't mean flushed. You look rosy.
500 laps of the swimming pool, and
your skin looks all clear.
Steam room for an hour.
No blackheads.
Yeah, steam room for an hour.
I love a steam room.
Yeah,
because we were saying off air that, you know, I'm not a fan of a sauna. I find it a bit much.
I did have a sauna.
Lovely.
I did have a sauna, but I don't. I like you. I don't like a sauna. It's too dry. The heat's too dry.
Yeah,
but
pant a bit.
Yeah, you? In lieu of anything else, I'd have a sauna. But
in the loo?
In lieu of anything else, I'd have a sauna, but I prefer a steam room.
And then you came home all relaxed and chillaxed.
I was all relaxed and chilled and all happy.
Take us through the list. So you start off with your mother's bins, which yet again, poor
This is an ongoing saga.
Which I've had in Whitstable as well with my mother, Ruth.
My mum's 93 and she's very frail.
Yeah.
Okay, and she's got a driveway, which is 9 feet long. It is, you know, you can cover it in two strides, but my mum can't get the wheelie bins down to the, you know, because she's just frail and they're too heavy.
And the thing is, if we leave them to do it, like my mum, she said, I'm all right, I can do it myself. Then she topples over and I end up spending 8 hours in A&E with her broken wrist, which they don't, thank you, Margate, they don't even mend properly.
Exactly. So over a year ago, we had a special thing, which we've renewed with Maidstone Council, that there's an instruction that says she has to leave them outside the back gate. Mm. She still has to get the bins out. She has to get the bins through the back gate and out the back gate. Mm. Then they'll come up the drive, empty them and put the bins back. Mm. The only drawback with it is they never come up the drive and get them. They're forever not emptying them.
Because I've made a few calls to Canterbury City Council, different area to you, and she said to me, oh, that's awful. You know, I said, they haven't collected it for 4 weeks. And she said, that's awful. She said, well, if they, you know, I've told them, but if they don't do it, because they've got a tablet in the van, if they don't do it, call me again and I'll flag it up. I said, surely I'm flagging it up now. I don't want to call you again. And I've had to call them 4 times.
Yeah. Well, I had the same.
And summer, you get maggots.
Yeah.
Won't you?
Right. So here's the whole process, right? They didn't empty my... You know bins are cyclical. One week they enter... and 1 week the next.
Even we have problems keeping up.
Exactly. And I just call them green bin, black bin. I don't know what, you know...
Blue bin we've got as for paper.
Well, my mum pays extra to have garden waste. She pays 45 quid a year.
Yeah.
And they've only ever emptied it once.
And she's a pensioner.
Yeah. Anyway, leave that aside.
Only once?
Yeah. Leave that aside. And she put the bins out, food caddy and the recycling bin, and they didn't touch either.
Yeah.
I go into the Maidstone Council website and there's a, you know, online form, missed collection.
Yeah.
First failure of Maidstone Council. I hope you're listening, Maidstone, because you need to sort this out.
Send them the podcast.
Yeah. When you go in, it says, what have you missed? But you're only allowed to pick one thing. But you put two bins out every week.
Yeah, no.
What if they've missed both?
Yeah.
So... anyway, I picked
That's
one.
That's why I phone up and shout, because I can't deal with the online.
So I picked one, and I got a number. Sorry about that. We'll come back later today and pick it up. So I went over there the next morning, went to get the bins in. They haven't emptied them.
Mm.
So at which point, what did I do first? I rang. And I said, da-da-da-da-da, you promised you'd come and pick it up that afternoon. Oh, it was too hot. It was too hot for the men to work.
Too hot for the maggots.
Yeah, it's too hot. And I went, well, exactly, it's too hot. Because what do you think's going to happen to the food caddy if it's too hot and you leave it out in the street?
Yeah.
It's going to be horrible.
Maggoty.
Yeah, well, our people can't work in heat. Oh. So I said, but you don't mind a 93-year-old lady dragging the bins out. That's fine. So anyway, they said, we'll come on Wednesday to do it.
Mm.
This is what they said on the phone.
Mm.
At which point, I got annoyed. So I went on Twitter, which is my go-to for everything.
Well, this is where you get it off your chest.
Yeah. But the thing about Twitter is they always reply. Mm. Yeah, because they don't like you putting things in public.
Well, you know, me and Rob and CCC.
Well, exactly, yeah. So I went, Maidstone, you've made a mess. Oh, sorry about this, Paul. DM us.
Yeah.
You know, let's get it off the live timeline and we'll DM. So I go through, I'm very polite, and I DM, and I go through all the things that have happened. And they said, oh, really sorry, we'll investigate. In the meantime, the council phoned back and said...
They phoned you?
They phoned my mum, and they said, oh, we see you've been complaining still. And,
still?
Yeah, and we didn't get it on Monday, and we didn't get it on Wednesday. Put it out. And my mum said, I haven't taken it in. I can't take it in. It's full.
That's the whole point.
Yeah,
exactly.
The whole point is I want you to empty it before I bring it back in.
It's cool.
And they said, we'll come on Saturday.
Mm.
And they didn't. Right. So I go back on and they go, right, just leave the bin out on her collection day is Monday.
Mm.
Just leave the bin out with the other bin because it's not the right cycle.
So
now.
Meanwhile, everybody's stumbling over it on the pavement.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's not on the pavement, it's at the top of the drive, which is where they're supposed to come and get it.
Yeah.
Right. So my sister put the bins out on Sunday because I was away, and she had all three bins out, which is all we could do.
Yeah.
They emptied two and left the other one, the one that they hadn't emptied.
Yeah.
So I go back and they sent me this long DM, go, oh, well, the people on the truck don't have the, you know, they can only pick up what they're supposed to pick up each week. And I went, that is abject nonsense.
Mm.
Because the last time this happened, they did pick up both at the same time. And I stood there and watched them. So either they were cheating or you're lying or you're all incompetent. And I think you're all just incompetent.
You have such a way with words.
Yeah, I know. I got fed up eventually. My mum's 93. She's frail. She pays thousands of pounds in council tax. Mm. And they can't be bothered to empty the bins.
I can't believe they've only emptied her garden waste once
and she pays in a year,
for it. That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, I remember with the caddy thing, because like it's quite a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah,
when you have people staying, it's because for some reason nationwide they can't all get together and get their recycling in a uniform way. So when someone comes and stay, you have to be like a hawk. Don't put that in there. That's paper.
My mum has carers coming and stuff like that. Yeah. When I put the bins out, I have to sit there for half an hour going, that can't go in there.
I know.
That can't go in there. That's an eggshell and goes over there.
Yeah,
that's a tea bag and that goes over there.
Well, even my new husband doesn't really get it because we get a lot of, we get river food, which is all really beautifully packaged and mostly they've cut out all plastic. Mm. But occasionally, on our bacon, which is absolutely delicious and it's organic, they have a bit that you have to pull off before you can put the plastic tray. But my new husband, I find him, he's put it all in and he hasn't rinsed it.
Gavin, come on.
I know, he's very naughty. He's an academic.
It is interesting.
So I have to rifle through the whole bin to diffuse what he's done.
It is interesting. My mum and I had a conversation about this the other day.
About my husband?
No.
Oh, okay.
About this, yeah. My mum said to me, can you put the rubbish out? I.e. the rubbish that's in the house, can you put it in the bin?
Yeah.
I go into the kitchen and it's a massive sack of rubbish.
Mm.
She's 93, she lives on her own, she eats like a sparrow, apart from ice cream.
Mm. Apart from those 22 meals that you ordered by mistake.
Yeah. I didn't order, yeah. They delivered 22 meals that we didn't order.
All the same, chicken.
All roast chicken dinners, yeah.
She had a chicken party.
Yeah. But my point is...
If you want to know about that, I think it was last week's show.
Listen to my rant from last week. But the point is how much rubbish a single person generates. It just shows you how much packaging there is for everything.
Yeah.
She's got a dirty great sack full of bits of plastic and bits of cardboard and bits of polystyrene tray that everything's come on. I don't understand this obsession with packaging everything in three or four layers of packaging.
Well, it's going back to when my mum and dad were in the 60s when I was a kid and 70s. Just to make sure I'm not too old. Possibly 80s.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we used to have, like, the butcher. My mum would phone with an order and he would deliver through the side gate, which was always unlocked because you weren't worried about burglars in Essex. And he'd come through whistling.
Did he have a bike with a basket on the front?
Yeah, a bike with a basket. And he'd have a bone for the Labrador, Goldie, our dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he would do a weekly delivery of our meat.
Yeah.
And then there were no supermarkets, of course. But there was no packaging. It was just, you know, it was delivered. So that is a shame, I think. And I get
a brown paper.
Hello, bag. Gemma.
Hello. Hello.
Gemma Fair has just arrived.
Yeah.
And to say what you were saying, brown paper.
We used a brown paper bag, so I remember when I used to go shopping with my nan, she'd take her pulley trolley.
Yeah.
You know, the pulley
I've
trolley.
I've got one, a wheelie, I call it.
And she would fill it, you know, and she knew she'd go to the heavier stalls first of the market.
Get your potatoes.
Potatoes in the bottom. Yeah.
This is what I do down the old high street. Mm. And when our son Shay, who's now 26, when he first was about 11, we sent him round to the co-op with the wheelie basket. And of course, the older siblings were roaring because it's so uncool. But he was 11; he didn't realise it was uncool to go to the co-op with his the local co-op with his wheelie basket. So then he discovered. Anyway, hello.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, you're looking very gorgeous.
Thank you.
And dying to hear from you both today.
And Kimora is here and looking equally as gorgeous. Kimora, hello, Kimora,
the entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to be hearing about crocheting. Have you ever crocheted?
I don't think I have knitted, but I don't think I've crocheted.
In wool round, through and off, that's all I know.
I've seen a crochet hook. My mum used to do crocheting.
Did she used to hook you up with it?
No. She used to make...
You were naughty.
She used to make, like... I don't know if you've done this, Kimora. She used to make bedspreads by making squares.
Granny
squares. Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
Kimora, that's not... That's just granny stuff, that is. Yeah. that's the nearest I've got. I did do some knitting once upon a time, but a long time
ago. I was wondering with our lovely guests today what your cheesy tunage might be. But first of all, I have to ask who our sponsor might be, because we've digressed talking about maggots.
Yeah, you started.
And if there are any fishermen listening, there are some maggots.
You started me renting, didn't you?
If there are any fishermen listening, there are some maggots at Betty's house.
No, because they've finally emptied the food caddy.
Okay.
The Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with Potter's Home Digital, the television audio systems and home cinema experts. They provide home entertainment inside and out. Their team of experts install fully integrated smart technology into your garden, bringing all your much-loved home entertainment systems from the inside to the out. They offer unique audio and lighting solutions, home security and Wi-Fi networks perfectly suited to your garden, with meticulous implementation to create an atmosphere and experience like no other. If you'd like to find out more, www.home-digital.com is the place to go.
Excellent. And if you've just tuned in, we've got in the studio that arrived, we've got 12-year-old clothing brand entrepreneur Kimora Haynes. And you can find her on Instagram at Kimmy Crochets, which is KimmyKrochets. And the lovely Gemma Fairhay of Orchard Employment Law. You can find her on the Twitter. That's Gemma with a J, E-M-M-A-F-A-I-R, Hay. So follow them on the Instagram and on the Twitter with Gemma, and have a listen in to find out what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheesy tunage, you say?
Yeah, well, I was trying to think, is it going to be about knitting and crochet?
Well, do you know, it was really difficult.
It must be.
It was really difficult.
I was getting very hot under the collar.
Let me explain to Kimora what I'm waffling about, because she probably hasn't got a clue what we're going on about.
First of all, do say hello in your mic.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
and come up close to the mic.
Yeah, get close to it. Bite it.
Yeah, snuggle up.
Yeah.
So, Kimora, we're racking our brains about what music...
What it is I pick a music track that allegedly has some kind of connection to the guest, which is you. Yeah, and what you do,
and you're the main guest.
Yeah, and you are the guest. You are the lady. You're it number one. So you're the cheesy tunage recipient.
Yeah,
but it wasn't easy to find
Jim Crochet. He's a really good singer, American. Google him.
Yeah.
Everyone Google.
Do you think I'm falling for that?
Yeah. Jim Crochet. I listen to him. He's on my Alexa list.
I'm telling you,
I'm going to Google him now.
Yeah. I struggle really, really hard with this because everything I put into the... we got a massive song database and I put all of that and I started with Crochet thinking there's no way and then nothing come out. Not your bloke. He wasn't on there.
I'm sending you the link now.
Yeah, and I put in knitting and I'm racking my brain even just to think of anybody that, because there was one, there was a song that kind of it was Knit One, Pearl One or something.
Really?
In the middle of the lyrics, I don't know what it was, and then I remember what it was. It's Fat Les, isn't it? And Vindaloo. I thought, well, I'm not playing that.
I don't even know that.
Yeah, it was a football song.
Is it? Oh, that's why I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I struggled really, really hard, and then it came to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall I play it?
Yeah.
God, I'm in tension.
See if you can get it.
Oh, Needles and Pins.
Of course, Needles and Pins.
Is that The Searchers?
The Searchers, yeah.
I love
1962.
This song. Needles and Pins.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Financial advisors can help you invest, organize your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. Seekers, Searchers.
The Searchers, yeah.
Hold on, let me turn you on.
Turn me on. I'd love to be turned on a Tuesday.
Don't start that.
I love that song, actually. Got it in one.
You did, yeah, yeah. You nailed it.
I do like. I've actually got that on my Alexa soundtrack on my little, which is very annoying because I've got all these little soundtracks that I do. So I've got classical music. I've got happy songs. I've got disco. Got all sorts of genres. And then I go shuffle my music, and she goes, "I cannot shuffle on this stream." So I go play my music, and she goes, "Shuffling your music." That is really annoying, isn't
it? Yeah,
that's really annoying.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It's Mick Jagger's birthday today.
Is it?
Yes, 75.
God, I bet he's still having kids, isn't he?
I know.
I've got the moves like Jagger.
Have you? Yeah. What, you move like a 75-year-old?
Yeah, something like that.
No, he's probably had another couple of kids this month, knowing him.
Yeah, he's up to about 20 now, isn't he?
I want to know what vitamins he takes.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he has transfusions.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vitamin B and all that.
Right, so Needles and Pins, in tribute to the lovely Kimora Haynes, our 12-year-old entrepreneur. Kimmy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. We're blown away by what you're doing. It's fantastic. And as somebody asked me on LinkedIn, are you the youngest business person we've ever had on the show? And the answer to that is yes. And I don't think you're going to be surpassed somehow.
Well, I was thinking when I knew that you were on, Kimora, about we had, do you remember young Joshua, who was also a designer of women's clothes, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Was he 12?
No, he was 14 then.
Was he 14?
He was 14.
Yeah.
And we also had Louis from the Belgian Waffle Company.
Yeah.
But he was 13 or 14 at the time as well.
And then there's you.
And then it's me. I've just got a mental age of a 9-year-old. Yeah, exactly.
Quite old.
Yeah, absolutely. Kimora, anyway, I want to start off by first understanding what got you in. You're primarily crocheting, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you do any? Do you do knitting and sewing as well?
I do sewing.
Yeah.
I tried knitting once. It was really difficult.
It's boring knitting, isn't it? It's just those big clacky needles. My gran used to knit a lot, and it always fascinated me. She had a little thing on the end of one of her needles that she'd turn around and keep some. I don't know what it did. What did it do, Jules?
What, sorry?
The thing on the end of one of your needles that my nan, when she would knit.
Oh, those little thimble things?
No. It was a thing like for keeping score of how many.
Oh, that's an abacus, isn't it?
I don't know. Yes. Anyway.
My gran never had one of those.
Right.
And my mum didn't. But I do remember when I was pregnant once with Josh, who's now 36. I got very sort of broody, as you sometimes do. It's all the hormones and things flashing around. And I started knitting. But I can't knit, really. So I just did a very, very long scarf that went on and on and on because I didn't really know what to do with it.
It was a family scarf. They all shared it.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming back to Kimora. Yeah. So, Kimora, you're not into knitting. Knitting's blah, isn't it?
What's the difference between knitting and crocheting? Because to me, it's the same sort of thing, really.
Well, it's a different process, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but...
Kimora's going to explain in a minute. She's going to tell us how you crochet in a minute.
If she can get word in.
Well, stop interrupting, I think.
Yeah, and you. Right.
So, you're doing crochet and some sewing, okay? Yeah. So, who taught you in the first place? Was it your mum?
It was my grandma.
Your grandma. It's always grandma, isn't it?
Mum can't knit or crochet or sew.
Right.
Don't even sew buttons.
Can dad?
He can kind of put a button on.
He can sew
a little bit.
I learned to put buttons on in brownies.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do.
Yeah.
So your grandma. So
your grandma taught you crocheting. Just explain how you crochet. What? Because you use a hook, don't you? Crochet hook. Yeah.
So it's like... It's a hook, so it's got a bit of a curve on the end of it.
Yep.
And you start with a loop on the hook and on the bottom of the hook, and you've got to pull the yarn through that hook, through the first loop that you have.
Right, okay.
But you've got so that it goes through, you've got to hook it at the end.
Right. So it's quite complicated. It's a bit like fishing, really. There's a lot of hooks involved. No, it's nothing like fishing, boy. It's nothing like fishing at all. But it's a complicated process, but it makes beautiful things.
Mm.
Yeah.
And do you find it relaxing, or what is it you love about crocheting?
It's something that's quite fun to do in my free time, and it's also quite therapeutic.
Mm.
So I can just, I can sit and crochet, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. It's not like work, it's just calming.
Is it something you can... Do you have to pay... really strict attention to it, or can you watch TV while you're crocheting?
It depends on how, like, what level you're at. If you're just starting, then you probably want to, like, pay attention to it.
It would help, wouldn't it, really? Yeah.
But it's not like knitting where you can drop stitches. So you can watch TV whilst doing it. I often do.
Right. Oh, really? You can multitask then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. She's a true entrepreneur.
So you have favourite kind of wool? Is there different sort of categories of wool? I know nothing about. Did you get fat wool and thin wool? And
yeah, so you'll get like, so there's wool and then there's yarn.
Oh.
And yarn is more, it's almost like a thin rope, so it's a lot more sturdy. But wool is, it's a lot more fluffy. It's something that you'd want to have for your cardigan.
Do you work with both mediums? Do you work with yarn and wool?
Yeah.
And when you're making things, when you're crocheting things with yarn, what kind of things do you make? What is things like doilies and stuff like that that you make with?
It'll be like coasters.
Yeah.
And some bags.
Right, okay.
So hang on, a coaster for the table?
Yeah.
So they must be, like, if you're putting a drink on, they can't be wobbly, can they? So no. Do you have to have quite a thin, solid-y one? Is that a different type of wool?
So no, she's just saying it's yarn.
I'll make a square.
Pay attention.
I know, I was tweeting at the same time.
I'll make a square, but I will also, after I've completed it, I'll put something on top of it that's heavy so it becomes flatter.
Okay.
And I'll leave it overnight.
Clever.
You're a bit like when you press leaves in a book or flowers.
Mm.
She quite often, when we go in the wool shop, don't you? You'll go, oh, you look like a scarf. Oh, you look like a nice placemat, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, my gran used to crochet a lot, and she used to make squares. So she'd crochet a square, and then she'd make hundreds of squares, and then she'd sew them all together to make a blanket. She did do that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to do that because you can create your own pattern.
Right.
Or, you know, you can say, okay, well, if I put these together, it looks really nice. So if I do that, and then I'll sew them together.
Right.
And it makes it a lot easier to make things.
Okay. I was going to ask you about patterns, actually, because with knitting, you buy a knitting pattern and it tells you how to knit a jumper or whatever. Do you have knitting, or do you have crochet patterns?
Yeah, I do, actually. And I get a lot of mine off of Pinterest.
Right, okay.
Because it's just a lot easier. And you can buy them, but nowadays it's a lot easier if you find them.
Yeah, just steal them. I mean, why do you want to spend money buying them when you can steal them off Pinterest?
Going back to Pinterest and Instagram, because I know you're mostly on Instagram. So do you use Pinterest as a sort of visual, creative thing, or do you use what's the difference in how you use them?
Instagram is more for my publicity and so that I can, like,
market yourself,
say what I'm doing, and I'll use Pinterest as something for, like, getting ideas of what
inspiration
to do. Yeah.
She's like budding entrepreneur.
Oh,
she's
nailed it. She's absolutely nailed it.
We need to invest in her now,
absolutely,
while she's young.
Absolutely. So, Kimora, I want to kind of start your... When did you start crocheting? How old were you when you started crocheting? Do you remember?
I think it was during the lockdown.
Right, okay.
So, I was about 10.
Right.
And maybe 11.
Okay.
But I was bored. I was really bored. Mm-hmm. And because my mum was working, I spent most of my time at my nan's house.
Right.
Cause
this is when you were allowed to have childcare just for this.
But then that was a bubble anyway.
Yeah, the bubble. Yeah.
That was a bubble. I mean, we all have bubbles.
And there speaks a lawyer. Yeah. I'd just like to caveat what my child said with the rules.
But you're absolutely right. You were allowed to be in a bubble, so that was fine. But just going back to lockdown, as a child that you are, coming up to teens, how was lockdown for you? How did it affect you? And what was it like not being able to just go out and see your mates? How did you cope?
Well, we used to have a lot of, like, video calls with my friends.
The old Zoom and Facebook and things.
And, like, I had a FaceTime, and I'd FaceTime with my friend for, like, 6 hours at a time.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'd try and see, okay, look, yesterday we did it for 6 hours, can we do it for 7?
That's just fairly normal, though, Camira. That's the kind of thing that ladies do a lot, actually.
Yeah. So we used to, so we just, like, FaceTime and stuff, but it was really difficult because you weren't able to just like really socialize, and some of my social skills really suffered. Like, I really struggle with eye contact now. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult time, especially for youngsters, because, you know, you couldn't go to school, you couldn't see your friends, homeschooling and all the rest of it.
It's never ever happened before, has it?
No, it hasn't, and it has. You're quite right, Kimora, it has a big effect on your social skills.
91 and a nanny, we call her nanny. She said that during the war, where she was in the Second World War as a young girl, she said at least they could hug each other. She said we were allowed to hug, whereas with this it was all sort of a bit so you've done really, really well, and you've used your crocheting, apart from your FaceTimes and all that, you've used your crocheting as a sort of method of honing some skills, learning something different instead of just watching the box all the time. It's brilliant.
Do you remember what the first thing you made was?
I do. So it was in the morning.
She remembers the time as well.
I was in the kitchen at my grandma's house, and she was like, okay, so we're going to make like a little tea cozy to put over your teacup.
Right.
And so I started to do it, and she was like, no, do it like this. And I got really frustrated, but I kept coming back to it. So, yeah, it was really nice, and it's still there now. And I look at it and I'll be like, that's so rubbish.
She's her own biggest critic now. Yeah,
at the time it was really nice for me to but have that.
That's a very astute point though, isn't it? Because what you're telling us is that when you first did it and you had nothing else to gauge it against, you were really proud of what you'd achieved, quite rightly. But then as you develop your professional skills and move on, you then go, oh, I could have done better. But you couldn't, of course, could you? Because it was your very first attempt. And that's how we learn everything, is by progressing. We do something and then improve on it. And learn new skills, which is brilliant.
I used to have, because I'm quite old,
She's incredibly old. She was in the Boer War, but you haven't heard of the Boer War, have you?
I worked with the Boer, but, you know, a wild Boer. But in the, I think it was in the 70s, the late 70s, I had a crocheted sort of top, which was like a cardigan, but it was, and I still remember it and loved it. So do you sort of get inspiration from looking back at vintage stuff, or are you really into just looking at modern stuff?
I will use both, because, you know, it's nice to see the vintage stuff, and also it kind of gets hidden under a lot of the modern stuff because it's not as popular or it's, you know, it's not as new and it's not the latest thing. So, you know, certain things that they might do would be easier.
Crochet is quite popular in the shops now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely in vogue. I wrote that on your Instagram, I don't know whether you saw, but it's definitely in vogue, especially in Ibiza. All the girls got their crochet bikinis. I mean, I wouldn't dare wear a crochet bikini, but
blimey,
you know. But a lot of crochet dresses in Ibiza, they're wearing nice bikinis, and then they've got these long sort of crochet things which show everything. Favourite colours for using? We've talked about wool and yarn. What colours inspire you? Don't say pink.
I like using pastel colours. So like maybe yellows, bright colours.
I love a yellow.
Purples. And sometimes it's nice to have some. It depends on the time of the year. So if it's wintry, I'll use more like reds and like burgundy.
Beautiful.
And stuff like that.
To go with the autumnal. Have you brought any with you?
I have.
Mum's just rummaging her bag.
Oh, look at this. It's pink.
Oh, that is
beautiful. It's a pink bag. It's fantastic.
That is really lovely. Wow, this is incredible. And feel it. Yeah. It feels absolutely. Now, that feels very soft. Softer than a wool. What kind of wool is that then?
Furry wool.
It's like mohair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, Mummy, why is that so soft?
I've got no idea. I just purchased the stuff.
Well, funny enough,
beautiful.
I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, which is a charity just outside Maidstone, and we have alpacas, and we actually sell alpaca wool, which is incredibly soft. So we've got some fantastic things in the studio. Jules is taking photos. She'll post them on Twitter. And obviously you'll be able to see them on Kimora's Instagram account anyway when you follow it, which you will. That's an order.
Read it out, because I haven't got it up. Her Instagram account.
What's your Instagram account?
It's Kimmy_crochets.
With a K.
Crochets with a K.
Yes. Kimmy, K-I-M-I, underscore, crochet with a K.
Follow her immediately.
I thought you crocheted with a hook. That's a horrible, silly joke, isn't it? Right. What I want to ask you about now, Kimora, is you discovered your creativeness, yeah, with the help of your grandma, and you started to make these things, which you then self-critiqued and grew from and started to do. At what point did you think, I can make some dosh out of this?
I think it was when I started to... So I started to look at other designs and other things, and I used to think, I could probably make those.
Right.
So the experiments, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to make this today. So I'd begin to experiment it, and I'd show my nan, and she'd be like, oh, wow, that's really lovely. And one night I made a scrunchie, and I put it in my hair.
A scrunchie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a hairband thing, isn't it? Yeah.
You wouldn't know, Paul.
Thank you.
And I put it in my hair because I needed something to tie my hair up, and I went to visit my aunt, and she was like, oh, did you make that? And I was like, yeah, and she was telling me how I could make a business out of it.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, whatever.
I thought you were going to say, she said, could you make me one?
They say that too, don't they?
Yeah. So you suddenly discovered that you had a talent here for making these things that other people wanted.
Yeah.
And you sell them now?
Yes, I do.
And how do you do that? Did you have an Etsy shop, or do you just sell them from your account?
I sell them from my Instagram account, but I also do... So if I go to an exhibition, I'll bring all of my things.
Right, okay.
I can sell them there. And we bought a card machine, which makes it a lot easier.
Blimey.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Way ahead.
Absolutely. So you're doing face-to-face sales.
Yeah.
In a retail environment, and you take full credit. What have you got, an iZettle machine or something?
A square.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
But it was a good process, wasn't it? The whole design, the name, the logo.
Mm.
It's very hard to work with. No, only joking. But you were quite particular, weren't you?
Yeah, but I think that's good, because I knew what I wanted, so that I wasn't going to end up with something that I didn't want.
That's fantastic. Now, you're still only 12, and I know that you're an incredibly bright young lady, and you're doing really well at school. Have you thought about where you might go with this? Do you think you'd be an entrepreneur when you leave school, or are you more conventional? You think you might go to university and read something all professional, like medicine or law?
She's
or
only
accounting.
12.
Oh,
give
no,
her
I'm
time.
Asking her.
She's got an answer, so you can ask her.
I'm sure she has, just because you don't know what you're doing and you're 73.
No, well, careers advice wasn't really hot
exactly.
In my time.
A bit of both. So I feel like after I finish school, I want to go to university, because then I have a lot of opportunities that are open to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like then, but I would like to continue with my business.
It's called a side hustle these days.
Yeah.
A side hustle. Yeah.
After finishing university, I might make it a main thing. Mm-hmm. Just depending on how things go.
Right. Now, I fully appreciate this is a tough question, and Jules is absolutely right. You are only 12, so, and there's no reason why you should know. But do you have an idea of what you'd like to study at university?
There's a few things I'm interested in,
right.
But I don't know if I'd want a career out of it.
Right, good answer.
Politics and criminal law, I find.
Criminal law?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Nice one. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, one of yours studied criminology, did they not, Jules?
Yeah, Shay, who's 26, wanted to be a policeman, or a policewoman, depending. But he did criminology at Essex Uni, and he went out with the Essex police on a Friday night. You know the story.
Yeah.
And I'm an Essex girl, but he went out with the police on a Friday night, and there were all these rather drunk young ladies. And I think it rather put him off, because they were all scrabbling about pulling each other's hair out. And the policeman in the van with him said, don't do it, son. So he's now in IT sales.
As you would be.
But
his
love is still to be a policeman.
Yeah.
And criminology is his thing. And if ever there's a speeding ticket or anything in our house, he's always...
He's on it.
Yeah, he's on it. Yeah. Or if there's a parking ticket that he thinks can be wheedled out of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, Kimura, what's your next project in the crochet stakes? What are you going to be making next, do you think?
I'm starting to get ready for winter, make scarves and things like that.
Scarves, okay. Can do you make bubble hats and stuff? Can you crochet a bubble hat? I don't know if you can. Can you?
Well, this is almost the start of a bubble, isn't it? In a way. Yeah. How would you? So I'm holding up a scrunchie for the listener. There's all lovely different colours. I really love these colours. Would you sort of continue from that, or how do you? How does it get bigger?
You sewn together, don't you?
Without a hole in the middle. No, don't you have a? Don't you have like a cardboard ball that you crochet around to give you a thing?
No.
How does it get bigger? And turn into a bobble?
So, I don't think to make like the actual like pom pom on the top. I don't know if I'd probably
get someone else to do it.
Make a pom pom, but by like. So it was like a whole thing that I learnt when I was younger. You wrap lots of wool around your hand, and you tie the middle.
Right,
and you
got
cut
it.
The sides.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it all comes out and it looks like a pom pom.
Okay,
like lots of strands of wool, but they're all held together because you put like a piece in the middle.
Right, and now my final question, really, on just the logistics of the business, yeah, is where do you get your wool from? I mean, I take it that Mum orders it for you, but do you go to a wool shop or do you buy it online?
I prefer to go to the wool shop so I can feel the quality and things like
that. Oh, I like it. Have you got a wool shop close to you?
Yeah, I do.
Have you?
Yeah. See, that's a bit like a sweetie shop, isn't it? Yeah. When you're in your line of business, can't you? Yeah, you can touch and feel and everything. Yeah. So you go down there, but first of all, you've got to get the cash, haven't you?
Yeah.
So are you selling things and then getting the money to go and get more wool?
Yeah, I am.
Or are you going in your mum's handbag?
So sometimes I'll use pocket money, but I have a bank account for my business, and if I do make money, I'll take half of it and I'll put that to like into the bank account, and I won't take that out, but the other half I'll use as spending money for buying stock and things like that.
Wow. Oh, Kim, you should tell them about how you worked out profits and things, because do you remember when you decided you were going to sell everything really cheap, that wasn't going to work?
Yeah, so I had to look at lots of other crochet businesses that sell similar things that I do, and I had to make like a general, I had to look at it and say, okay, well they're selling it and that's a lot of money, but they're selling it and it's not. So I had to look at quite a few businesses, and it did take me quite a while, but I was like, okay, so I think I know what the price is based on what a lot of other people have.
What about what you were spending as well? Do you remember you did some of that, having you got that chart that you made?
Yeah, I made a spreadsheet.
You made a spreadsheet of your incomings and outgoings, a budgetary spreadsheet, which is incredibly clever. I occasionally do things in schools where they have like a Dragon's Den thing. And one of the things that perennially happens to almost every youngster that comes along with a business idea is they forget about baseline costs, and they come along and they go, and we have one lad that was brilliant. I've invented a hat with a built-in television, he claimed, right? Yeah, so that you could walk down the street and watch television
and trip over.
Yeah, now this lad was 14, yeah, and I said, okay, how much are you going to sell them for? He went, £1.
Oh dear.
And I went, well, how much was it going to cost you to make? And he went, oh, I don't know. But if I sell them for £1, I'll sell loads. And I go, yeah, but if they cost you £10 to make, you're gonna lose £9 every time you sell one.
Plus his time.
And he got really upset about it.
Yeah. We had a similar conversation, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then you had to decide how much is the wool and how much of the wool.
Yeah, specifically with the blankets.
Yeah.
Oh, blankets must take forever.
Yeah. They do take quite a while. They'll take me about like a week.
But that was a thing, wasn't it? I remember that, especially in America, in the sort of the southern areas of America, where when someone got married, their family would make a huge crochet blanket out of squares, and sometimes I think bits of stuff from the family that had been passed down to give to the newlyweds.
A leg.
Yeah. granddad's wooden leg, that kind of thing. Yeah.
No, old things, you know, old tablecloths and things. And it made these beautiful quilts. They've got a name, but I need to Google it.
Yeah.
But do you find that if you've done a piece, it's quite hard to get rid of and to sell, that you actually want to keep it?
Some of it.
Nah, she's a hard-nosed businesswoman. It's out there, mate. Yeah.
But at the same time, I know that I can make it again.
So. See, that's a very good point. See, that's a very good point. You hadn't thought of that, had you?
No.
She can mass produce these. She can just knock them out. If she wants another one, she'll make herself one.
So do you see yourself, like, in future getting a... Can you get machines that do this so it's less labour-intensive?
I think you can. But
like, because you can get looms, can't you?
Well, you can get knitting machines, can't you?
Yeah, looms and things.
I mean, you can, can't you? But there is there's a beauty to something being handmade.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it has that extra...
It has that extra cachet, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That extra crochet.
Cachet.
See what you did there. Kimora, it's been fantastic talking to you, and we really are impressed with what you're doing. From both points of view, both your creative point of view in terms of making your products, but also your business acumen and how you've learned to run a business at just 12 years of age, where you run in a bank account, you're taking credit card payments, you're going out to the public and making sales. Just fantastic. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
And we're really, really impressed with what you've done. So keep on doing what you're doing. Even when you're at university, you can have a side hustle. It's called a side hustle here. Where you just... Because basically, by having a side hustle, you won't get bogged down with having all the loans and debt from students, because you can pay your own way through, which mum will love.
Yeah. that's
the other reason that my Shay didn't become a policeman, because the money was just, you know, he's paying off a great big student loan at the moment.
Mm.
But we won't talk about that.
Yeah. So, Kimora, just give us another shout out again for your Instagram account so people can come along and look at the wonderful stuff that you're making.
So it's Kimmy_crochets with a K.
Kimmy_crochet_with_a_K. There's all the links to Kimmy's social media and Facebook pages on the Business Bunker website. You can find them all there. For the moment, Kimora, fantastic. Thank you so much. That's absolutely brilliant. Mm. And you should be very, very proud of what you've achieved.
I'm just going to be fondling these.
Stop fondling her stuff.
They are lovely. They are lovely and soft. Mm. The Ambrette, which is one of my favourite restaurants, the lovely Dev. I've sat next to him on many an occasion at some of the awards. And he loves me, of course.
Of course he does.
So the Ambrette is now called the Cook's Tale Restaurant.
Yeah.
Their new name has been inspired by Geoffrey Chaucer's famous work, The Canterbury Tales. After 10 eventful years of serving locals and tourists in Canterbury, the Ambrette team feels it's time for a new direction. The pandemic and its after effects made us realise, they say, the importance of sticking together as a community. The new concept will be heavily invested into local farms and food producers from the Canterbury area. I love this. We will source all major ingredients in our dishes from within half an hour's driving distance from our restaurant.
Wow.
How's he going to get his spices then? Our new restaurant will be strongly focused towards sustainability and using ingredients that are organic and don't harm the environment. We will do all the above with the same passion, creativity and zeal as the Ambrette. This time it's Canterbury produce with a modern Asian twist. Please bear with us while we're working on our new website and new menus. Feel free to take a little peek at the new website, they say. It's www.thecookstale.co.uk. You know my lovely friend Dr. John?
Yep.
Who was my co-producer until I wore him out on the Scoff and Quaff show. He famously went to the Ambrette, and you know they've got lovely recycled chairs and sort of vintage chairs. And he's a little bit rotund, especially after being on the Scoff.
He didn't break one, did he?
he fell off one and broke it. And they gave him a couple of bottles of wine. So now he practices doing that. So. But I have a lovely memory of him at the Ambrette in Canterbury, falling off his chair.
Yeah, so I shall wander into the Cook's Tale once they're fully open, because it's just around the corner.
Yeah, tweet me when you go and I'll join you.
Right, I'm going to catch up with some of the tweets, because we've had loads of tweets and we need to catch up with some of them. Michael Park, Surveyors, good afternoon, Vanilla Web. Looking forward to the Business Bunker show today with Paul and Jules. Please may we have a shout out for Michael Park, Surveyors. Of course you can. Chartered Surveyors, property specialist for London and the South East. Follow them on Twitter, MPSL.
Fabulous. And then we've got Tented in Chamber. They are on the Twitter at Tent Chamber. Hi, Jules and your little helper. Please can you give a shout out to a busy Chamber of Commerce team preparing for our monthly committee meeting after last week's was postponed due to the furnace conditions. What wimps they are.
I know.
Postponing. I mean, yeah. You know, haven't they heard of a little cloth handkerchief on their head?
Exactly, yeah.
And
damp flannel.
Yeah, and they've tweeted, use the Bee Bunker hashtag, and they've tweeted at Biz Radio UK.
Fantastic. Fruitworks. Hey, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin. Can we please get a shout out on today's show? We're looking for people who wish to run workshops, support groups, or training during the day in Canterbury City Centre who would like to partner with us. If you want to find out more, go to their website, fruitworks.co. That's just CO, fruitworks.co.
And we've had the lovely Casey K9 2014. That's a little rescue greyhound, a very handsome greyhound. Fish watching at Bodiam Castle on my morning constitutional with Doris and the Egypt. And he's yawning, actually. He looks a bit bored by watching the fish.
Now then, Chips and Dinks. They go, Business Bunker, last week it was all hot and you had ice cream. This week it's all cool and crochet. And they've given us a gif of someone crocheting.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't that brilliant? Will Vanilla Web be getting out his yarn and hook?
Well, he can tell a yarn.
From Bev. In amongst the knitting circle, there's a brilliant Gemma Faircuff-Haynes guiding us through employment law. So we are listening intently to the show. So that's the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks.
Yeah, well,
thank you so much.
Employment law, I mean, you need 10 shows on that, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Paragon Drones, hi, Paul. What a lineup. 2 hours of banter, a 12-year-old entrepreneur, employment law insights, and your cheesy tunage music par excellence. Mm-hmm. Paragon Drones, thank you so much. And what's on in Kent? And they say, good afternoon. We love a shout out. As per usual, plenty going on in this week. There's Leeds Castle have an open air cinema all week. An electric bike open day at McNaid's Farm. A comedy night by OOB Comedy. With lots going on at Kenwood Trust as usual. So that's a big Business Bunker shout out for what's on in Kent. Do download their app. It's totally free and you can find all the activities that are going on. And now that the youngsters are on their summer holes from school, you need the app more than ever because you need to get rid of them, don't you, really?
Yeah.
You need somewhere to pump the kids for the day.
Yeah.
And there's lots going on.
Yeah, you want things that are sort of creative and not too expensive if you've got two or three children.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's quite scary.
And take all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that you can do stuff. And preferably lots of sleepovers. That's how I used to cope. I used to do lots of swaps.
But you have to do them at yours if you do them elsewhere.
Do what?
Sleepovers.
Yeah, but that's all right if you do a swap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of swaps. So, like, I used to work part-time at the Penny Theatre doing their PR in Canterbury. So I'd dump my kids off with, you know, various friends and then they'd dump them off on another day. And that's how we coped, really.
Yeah. She'd dump them off and then pick them up a couple of years later.
Yeah. When they were house trained.
Yeah. Martin Reeves of Collector's Buddy said, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. Looking forward to listening live today as you have very interesting lineup of guests. Have a good show. You always do. So thank you, Martin. That's Martin from Collector's Buddy.
And Lisa M. Settle on the Twitter was talking about her bin.
Yeah. Well, we've been all ganging up on Maidstone Council about bins, even those people that don't live in Maidstone.
And Zina Zanari, have you read that one?
No.
She's chiming in and she says, does Kimora do crochet postbox toppers too? You know, you see that sometimes, don't you, little thing? Have you seen those?
Yeah.
To keep the postbox warm.
I can tell from your face that you don't. There was a whole series of them, wasn't there, for the Queen's thingy, whatever it was. Yeah.
Jubilee, I think you call it.
Yeah, that's him.
It wasn't really a thingy.
Yeah.
It was a Jubilee.
Yeah, well, everywhere I went trying to post a letter, it was full of bloody crocheted stuff all over it. Yeah.
I'm still reeling over Rod Stewart's rendition of Sweet Caroline.
Yeah. That was awful, wasn't
it? I love Rodney. I really love him. I mean, he's still kept his snake hips, but
But sometimes you need to retire, really, don't you?
Yeah, you know. And I'm not... I don't really get why he sang Sweet Caroline, because it's an American... I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Did you? It was quite American-based, the Jubilee, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Sweet Caroline's an anthem these days, isn't it, that they sing at everything.
Yeah, but it's not an English anthem. No,
nor Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, but they do that at rugby all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
If we only were allowed English anthems, we'd have Jerusalem, and that'd be about it, really, wouldn't it?
I think there's a few more English songs.
Well, what? There aren't.
I wandered lonely as a cloud. Yeah. On high, O'Dale and who else have we got? Oh, look, they're inviting Kent-based designers and makers. Here's one. Look, this is very interesting for you about the crocheting. Inviting Kent-based designers and makers to submit their work for the 5th Designers and Makers Christmas Fair. It's meant for you. Held at Turner Contemporary in Margate. It'll take place on Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th of December. So you've got time to get all your autumn colours you were talking about.
Well, you haven't. That's the whole reason they're telling you now. You've got to get them in now so that they can prejudge them and plug them into the event at Christmas.
Well, hopefully you've got some aside. 22 artists will be selected to show their work in one of the most visited cultural venues in Kent while having the opportunity to sell directly to customers.
Kimora needs to go for it. She's,
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you need to get your stuff in that because they having your stuff on display at the Turner Contemporary will be fantastic. It will bring you to a wider public.
But how? There is no date on here about when you have to.
No, but you have to.
It's for the 4th of December, so surely you've got a little bit of time.
Well, yeah, you've got some time, but you've got to submit it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then once everyone's submitted what they're going to do, an appropriate time, they're then going to review it all and go right. You have been selected to appear, and then once they've selected you to appear, presumably you then got to gird your loins and get everything ready for displaying your creativity at the Turner.
Well, there is a website, so it's kentcreative.org. Go on there and find all about it, and good luck to everybody, all the designers and the makers for the Christmas fair.
Absolutely. Tracy Ferguson, did you read Tracy's tweet?
Tazy64.
Yeah, she's saying fantastic that Kimora is following in the entrepreneurial footsteps of her talented mum, Gemma. Love the brand name too, Kimmy Crochets. I can't be with you live today, so I'll very much look forward to catching up with the Business Bunker replay soon. Have a brilliant show, everybody, and well done, Kimora.
Kimora's now starting crocheting under the desk to get ready for the Christmas fair in Margate.
Absolutely, yeah, she's off and running.
She's not wasting any time.
Right.
Tenterden-based Hope's Grove Nurseries is celebrating the 30th anniversary as the company sets its sights on further expansion. Established in 1992, the hedging plant specialist has initially started out a small quarter-acre nursery on the edge of land at Hope's Grove Farm by managing director Morris Hankinson. I love that name, Morris Hankinson. It's now grown into one of the country's leading hedge plant specialists, with plants produced across a total of 137 acres at 3 sites in Tenterden, Sandhurst and most recently Benenden. Plans are now being developed to move the whole of the main nursery in Tenterden to a new 160 acre home at Cranbrook, close to the Benenden nursery. And when complete, the business will be based across 3 convenient sites, totalling 275 acres of land with over 1 million plants in production and 26 members of staff. So speaking about the landmark anniversary, Morris said, "I'm mostly proud in a quiet and modest kind of way, coupled with an unyielding feeling as a first-generation nurseryman that I am only about halfway on my part of the Hope's Grove journey. There is so much still to do." This sounds amazing. Hedging his bets there, I think.
Absolutely. DG East Vehicle Supply Services. Hi, Paul and Jules. Please can you give a shout out for a business still being bled dry by the excessive fees from the parasitic Financial Conduct Authority? Well, there you go. You just had a shout out. And I'm struggling here now. I can't retweet anything or do anything because Twitter have now cut in with their utterly stupid rate limit exceeded nonsense.
You saw that. I had that all Sunday.
I get it all the time. I get it every day, every 10 minutes.
And I had it when I was trying to tweet the Mark Stein show yesterday. And it's really annoying.
Yeah.
And what is it? Somebody said it's because they're monitoring me.
No, it's nonsense. It's...
it's calls to an API, and they say you're only allowed to make 100 in a certain amount of time, but it's nonsense. They just keep pumping it out.
Yeah, because I was out walking. I wasn't even tweeting, and I came back and did one tweet, and it popped up. And also, I'm not being funny, I've got 16,000 followers. I'm bound to be having a lot of conversations.
Yeah, it's
and you've got 22,000 followers. So
anyway, we're going to join a Channel Radio newsroom.
Let's find out what's happening.
When we come back, we're going to be talking to lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes.
Yeah, in depth.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.